right. Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to another episode of Radio Wasteland. Today, our guest is Eric Brumble from the Dark Sun Rising podcast. Do we still call him a podcast? Is it a radio show, seeing how radio's dead? I'm not sure. But also from Para-X, his show Dark Sun Rising airs Monday nights on the Para-X Radio Network at 10 p.m. Eastern. Eric, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised we haven't done this before. You know, full disclosure for the audience, Radio Wasteland is on Para-X, and Eric, you're the boss, you know, so it's like...
My wife lets me say so, yeah.
Yeah, are we supposed to go extra easy on you, or how does this work?
No.
All right, so, you know, I tend to like to start these out with the obvious lame radio questions that people ask, but I think that this stuff is really kind of important to the world to know. You know, everybody gets into this stuff for different reasons, and I found there tends to be two straight up reasons. One is I loved the stuff and I wanted to find out what was real and what wasn't, and I had an experience and that got me hooked. You know, I came from the fiction. I love this stuff. Let's find out if some of this horror stuff I love is real. Which angle did you come from? Or did you come from a third angle that I have not thought of yet?
What's that third angle? No, because, I mean, I grew up in Boston. You can probably figure it out from the accent. And I lived one town over from Salem, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And so I spent a lot of time in Salem. So witches and anything that goes bump in the night was pretty much common fodder. Mm-hmm. So that got me interested in the paranormal field, so to speak. Like I said, in college, my educational background is in clinical psychology. So you talk with a lot of very interesting people, a lot of whom will say, I'm Satan, I'm Jesus Christ, I am, you know, the Archangel Michael. Like I said, you meet a lot of very interesting people. And that always got me thinking, you know, about the spiritual world. Are people really crazy, or is it just all of the rest of us that are crazy and they're actually sane?
Yeah, absolutely. I've always said this about Christians, that either they all know something I don't, or they're bat caca crazy, you know, one or the other. I can't pretend to say which one it is, but it's one or the other. There is no in between on that one.
Well, right here, we're not just talking about Christians. We're talking about crazy Larry, who's currently institutionalized, is correct, and everyone else in the world. It's crazy.
Right, yeah.
I believe in crazy Larry.
But I get that inspiration. Continue.
Yeah. So I always, listen, I always had I did college radio, you know, back in the day. And so I always liked doing radio. I love talking with people, because being in psychology, you do nothing but talk with other people all day. So the paranormal field was always around. And so I got hooked one time when the university I was at was doing, from the history department, was actually doing like a lecture at a local haunted hotspot in Boston. And so I said, oh, that sounds something to do, like, on a Thursday night. Great. Let me get some, you know, hit the pub first, and then hit the pub later. And it was this amazing lecture. It was on history, which really didn't thrill me all that much. It was kind of boring, but they brought in, like, ghost stuff. I'm like, this is a great way to do history, is tell me the ghosts and tell me the context of why we should be worrying about ghosts. And I said, this is actually, you know, pretty darn cool. So years go by, and then, like, ghost hunting wasn't really a thing. No one, you know, whipped out a K2 meter and started poking around in a cemetery. You just went to historic places and sort of poked around. If something happened, great. If not, then oh well. And I didn't really get into, quote, paranormal ghost hunting until they showed up, the Plumbers, on TV. Right? That was, like, in the early 2000s?
Right, yeah.
And so I said, oh, I can actually do that instead. That seems much more fun. Mm-hmm. And kind of got hooked on it. And like I said, it got me interested and actually made me more skeptical than I was before, watching everyone doing it on TV. And like I said, then doing paranormal radio, I did radio in college and loved it. And then I bumped into a guy, again in Boston, who was doing a, quote, paranormal open house at a paranormal hotspot. And he was walking around with a remote mic. And I'm like, what the heck are you doing? Because he crashed into me and almost spilled my beer. And he says, oh, I'm from blah, blah, blah radio. And I can't name it's a terrestrial radio station. And I'm like, oh, really? That's kind of cool. And I started talking about the equipment and all this. And I said, do you really talk about ghosts and stuff? He goes, no, but it's Halloween time, so we kind of have to. And I said, well, why couldn't you talk about that all the other times? Because ghosts are around not just on Halloween. And he sort of looked at me like, yeah, that kind of makes sense, but there were really no ghosty radio shows around, except for Art Bell, for example.
Sure.
Right. And I said, oh, that's interesting. Why can't I do that? And so, like I said, in 2010, going on 10 years now, I said, what the hell? Let's jump into the podcast field. And that's when the field was fertile for people starting up doing paranormal, you know, live internet streaming radio shows.
You know, that's actually pretty simple. For one, I got to tell you, you did come up with a third way. Normally, I say that people get into it because of fiction or because of an experience, but you apparently got into it because of a love of history, so I'm going to have to put that in as my number three. So you did actually come up with the number three.
Oh, awesome. Okay. I get extra points on that.
Yeah. And that's also the same way Kara and I came up with it. Kara and I were on a business radio show where we were basically doing marketing business, helping people with SEO marketing. Kara was a copywriter. And we'd talk about business and local business. And I was talking to the radio station owner one day and I said, you know, I really want to do a show about Art Bell someday. That'd be great. And he's just all, how about Monday? And I'm all right. You know? Yeah. So shout out to Carl at KCNR for hooking us up with that. Thank you.
But and I just showed up. I wasn't invited.
Oh yeah.
crashed the first episode.
Yeah.
And Chauncey was like, do you want to be on the show? Yes, please.
Yeah, it's funny because I started out with two other people. One quit because they were too busy. One quit because they were uncomfortable on the radio. And then Kara, that party crasher, ends up here we are years later. And so that's the way it works. But so, you know, I guess before we get to the other stuff, I got to say, are you still a skeptic? Now,
yes,
skeptic's a broad term.
It's a dirty word, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I sort of think when we say skeptic, people think that means I'm skeptical of everything. That doesn't mean that you haven't had some experiences that you can't explain, but I assume that means that you're always skeptical of new experiences, or have you never had an experience?
I've had experiences, which kind of keeps me interested. I always have that, like when I do paranormal investigating, I always think of maybe this will answer some question, or maybe I'll experience what I had before and experience it again, but maybe with education, training, and experience, I might be able to, again, provide an answer, not to me, but maybe to somebody else. And so, like, I've had them. I haven't had as many. There are some people that go out and, like, investigate every week and have, like, this encyclopedia of stuff that they claim happened to them. Or people like me, it's like, what is the one in the blue moon? And it's like, well, that one blue moon makes it pretty darn cool in case we're coming back for more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, with my background in clinical psychology, and I also worked in law enforcement, you have to basically take everything skeptically. You ask a lot of questions, you gather data, and then you make some conclusion based on the data that you have. And I took the same approach with paranormal investigating. Not everyone shared that approach, you know what I mean? And so I became skeptical because, like what I said, when the ghost hunters, the plumbers, showed up on TV and said, here's how we, quote, investigate ghosts. I said, oh, that's interesting. Let me try that out. And I asked the questions of people who kind of drunk the Kool-Aid and said, oh, this is how you do it. And I said, well, how does that thing work? I don't know. Yeah. So-and-so said, this is how, I'm like, that's it? That's the great mystery of life? That's the answer, you know, 42? Like, no. I said, honestly, how does it work? I don't know. And so I kept asking of all the different techniques and all the gadgetry that was flying around, and no one really had an idea as to how they worked. It's just that someone showed somebody who showed them, and it looked cool, so all right, I'll do that, and now it became gospel. And so that's where I became the skeptic, going, okay, the thing bleeped, the needle moved, and numbers appeared on this little gadget, and you felt something cold. Is that haunted? You know, I would say, no, I don't really see that as being haunted. Hence the skeptical approach. There is something out there greater than myself based off of experiences I've had personally. But again, if someone says, oh my God, this is totally haunted, I'm not the first one to run in and go, oh yes, absolutely, me too. I basically take a more laid back approach. Like, I wait and see, like, tell me what really happened. Tell me what data you actually have, what, quote, evidence you can present. And then if you have premise, and then we can draw that conclusion at the end of, wow, this is something extraordinary, then I'll be right with you, holding your hands and shaking my head, thinking, that's fantastic. But until that happens.
Lung Affair is a nonprofit organization that raises public awareness about lung cancer as well as implementing smoking cessation programs within the community. The Lung Affair was started and is supported by Pace Cancer Center in 2008. Money generated through this program is then allocated for smoking cessation and lung cancer awareness programs in Shasta County, including education programs for elementary, middle, and high schools. We also create public service advertisements about the dangers of smoking and have them placed at numerous area bus stops with wide visibility, as well as on the sides of RABA buses. Due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, our event this year will be held as an online raffle posted on the Pace Cancer Center Facebook page. There will be 3 gift baskets available for raffle, and tickets will be available at the Pace Cancer Center. In addition, you can also donate to this fundraising event. Tickets are now available and will be available till 4 p.m. on Wednesday, November 24th, and the raffle will be drawn on Monday, November 30th. Help us help our community. Pace Cancer Center and the Lung Affair.
Quick and Clean All Cloth Car Wash at 1210 Market Street in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash coupons, or choose from 4 different car wash packages. Car washes start at just $9, or you can choose from a variety of car wash packages. Buy 5 car wash packages and get 1 free, or buy 10 and get 3 free. Quick and Clean All Cloth Car Wash at 1210 Market Street in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
Okay, so like Yellowstone, everybody likes to say Yellowstone is going to explode and it's going to kill us all, and we don't know when it's going to happen. But we do know a good couple of decades as to when it's really going to happen, because there'll be a buildup of magma under the supervolcano, which actually... they read the gravitational field, and they can tell that the buildup of mass means that their gravitational sensors are going. And I only say this because when it comes to ghost hunting, you're taking something that you're skeptical about in the first place and researching it with equipment that you're skeptical about also. So it creates this sort of combination. So I guess I would ask you, in your experiences, in your times when it happens, is there pieces of equipment that you have more faith in than other pieces? Like, okay, well, the 3 times this shady thing happened to me, this little doohickey went like this, so it's like I'm all about the needle doing this, you know?
I'll be completely honest, and the answer is no. Like I said, the only piece of equipment that I trust, and that's with a grain of salt, is me, myself, and I.
Right.
And my 5 senses. There isn't a single piece of gadgetry that I've seen over 25 years of, quote, ghost hunting that I could say that definitely works. I always come up with I use like basically a reverse process, and I say, what are ghosts made of? And the answer generally is, well, I don't know. I said, then how can you find something that, quote, detects something that you don't even know what it's made of?
Right, yeah.
And
it's
the discussion.
Like energy.
Right. And, well, when you say energy, well, what kind of energy? What frequency are we talking about?
Yeah.
And if you get into, like, the science-y stuff, it's like the conversation ends in 20 seconds and they end up walking away.
I think it's commonly known that ghosts are made of muons. That's just, you know, gospel.
You know, if I'd known that, it would have saved me 25 years of heartache. So you know, I take that approach with the gadgets. And then the flip side is, let's say, for example, the app that allows you that the ghost can manifest or manipulate the static or whatever it is to speak to you.
Like a ghost box.
I'm always going to name any particular devices so I don't get sued. But I the first question I ask is, well, how does the ghost use it? And they look at me like, well, what do you mean? I said,
they
turn
the knobs, obviously.
I said, well, okay, so you see, you said that thing has, let's say, a 3,000-word vocabulary. I said, well, what's word number one? I don't know. I'm sorry?
Mama, normally.
Who knows? They don't know. They only built it. I said, well, if I'm a ghost and I want to say mama to you, how would I know?
Right,
is it
exactly
word one or is it word 3,000? I have no idea. And then I have to manipulate energy to make that happen. Well, what energy and by how much am I supposed to go from word one to word two? And again, you get that glazed over the you know, the eyeballs look of, I don't know. I said, but you want me to spend $300 for you to essentially tell me how I can talk to ghosts.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So like I said, when I talk with fact and, you know, God forbid science and stuff and being skeptical, I don't get that many friends in the paranormal field. I don't keep them once they sort of know me until they understand of, I come at it from a good place. I want to know, but I'm not just going to just dive headfirst into the Kool-Aid and going, yeah, this all this gadgetry and stuff just is the stuff.
Right. So how about, you know, a lot of these shows and a lot of amateur people, I don't know if amateur is the right word, you know, I don't want to be.
We're all amateurs.
Yeah, I think we're all amateurs, yeah. A lot of them take a medium or something like that. Do you find yourself having any more faith in that, or does that just add another level of skepticism for you?
Like I said, it's awful that I run the radio station and I've been doing this for 10 years. I've had many mediums on my show. I've talked with many. I've met many. Mm-hmm. How many do I actually believe have provided, let's say just me, with information not gleaned otherwise from any external source that I can validate with something like an other type of document or data? I can probably count on one hand. And this is what I mean. Let me sort of explain. Like we're going to talk about Fort Mifflin in Philadelphia.
Right.
Okay, if you're going to go to Fort Mifflin, chances are you know something about Fort Mifflin or you've looked it up on the internet or you've heard about it in a book. And if you say it's a Revolutionary War fort. Okay. So if you're a medium and you say, well, I see a person over there in, quote, period clothing. Well, first of all, what period? And, of course, oh, it's Revolutionary War period. Well, that's nearly not a stretch. I could have guessed and come up with that answer.
Right. Like how many buttons are we talking, you know?
You know what I mean? So, again, it's like, yeah, provide me with that level of detail. Most can't. Or they'll say, I'm talking with somebody, and here's what they're saying. Well, okay, I'm not privy to that conversation, so I'm just taking it third wheel. I'll take your word for it. Unless, and this is where I sort of add the validation part to it, in my recording EVP, and at the same time you're talking with whomever, I get a recording that has a voice on it as well that mimics what you're saying. Because theoretically, if you're talking to, let's say, General George Washington, I'll make up an example, and you're saying is, George Washington just said, I want a peanut butter sandwich. Then theoretically, I should get an EVP saying, I want a peanut butter sandwich at the same time.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right? Unless it's just different energies. I mean, who knows? We kind of throw that word around a lot. But something that sort of validates of something was said, and then you said you heard something, or you're speaking with someone that I can't see and I can't hear. On the flip side, if you're going to Fort Mifflin and you're saying, General so-and-so, General Smith, are you here? And you hear, let's say, just a voice that says, yes. Let's just pretend that it's a ghost. How do you know it's really General Smith? Right. If you said, well, who's here? And the voice came back and says, it's General Smith. Now you can put your stamp on it that it's General Smith.
I got to say, it's a lot creepier if it's not General Smith.
Well, yeah, then you think, well, who's playing pretend?
Right, you know, somebody, you know, it's kind of, you know, for all the mediums that we've had on the show, and I really enjoy having them, I'm not, you know, I'm like you, I don't want to, you know, crap on anybody's parade mm-hmm. or anything, but of all the mediums that we've had on the show, the one that really made me think, oh, my God, this chick was onto it, was the chick who psychically read my dog. oddly enough, which I joked about the whole time. But after the fact, I'm like going around looking at my dog and I'm all, oh my God, she was right about my dog. You know, it's like, so I don't know. I think she psychically read my dog. I think I should file that way in my marathon of paranormal experiences for when I go out. You know, let's talk about Fort Mifflin. You know, the first thing that you say in there is that, that you volunteered at Fort Mifflin. And I was a little confused by that. Does that mean you volunteered to work there in exchange for the opportunity to be around it? Or does that mean that you volunteered as a paranormal investigator?
A little bit of both. Let me sort of give you the background on that. It's, like I said, originally from Boston. And I actually, I was with Parrex for a while, and Dave Jones ran the station for a while. I was doing a separate radio show up in Boston. I had Dave Jones on as a guest. And we kept in touch afterward. And then a couple of years go by, and he says, sends out a blast email to everyone saying, I'm looking for new hosts. If you're interested, send me a voice sample and see what we can work out. Sent him the voice sample, and he goes, holy crap, I remember you, the guy from Boston. Oh, yeah. And so he said, why don't you come down to
Parrex? You're all what gave me away.
I'm sorry?
You're all what gave me away with your voice.
So I said, yeah, sure, I'll be happy to host. I said, I bring all my own equipment. I produce myself. I host myself. I do everything myself. And he says, I said, you know, if anyone else needs help, I'd be more than happy to help you out. You know, if someone needs production work or something behind the scenes, I'll help. He says, you know what? As a matter of fact, I have two shows that are really struggling. They need a producer, someone behind the scenes to get all this stuff and get them on air. Great. Give them my contact information. One show came and went off Parrex in about, I don't know, a couple years. The other one happened to then be my future wife's show, Shadows Radio, on Monday nights. So I knew Rebecca and her co-host, the late Mark Davis, God rest his soul. And I just knew them from a voice on the phone. I would talk to them before the show, during the commercials, and after the show. All right, guys, I'll see you next time. Awesome sauce. And so, like I said, I just knew them. Then we became friends, and then eventually I said, hey, we're having an event, a paranormal power con down at Fort Mifflin. We'd actually love to actually see what you look like other than, you know, Facebook page. Why don't you come down and see Fort Mifflin, and we'd love to meet you. So on Columbus Day weekend, 2011, I, like I said, drove down there and I saw, oh, I'm like, wow, this is a great place. So I came down as a, quote, skeptic. I had, you know, reason to sort of just go because it was a cool place and I loved it. Needless to say, I ended up proposing and marrying my wife. I proposed her at the fort and then, like I said, we got married. And so she had volunteered for a while there, and she's right now on the board of directors because she loves, like I said, loves history. She loves getting dressed up in the reenactor's gear and whatever, and playing a role. And so I said, what the heck? I'll volunteer too. So when they have, you know, like Revolutionary War period, I get dressed up in my gear and I play a character.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, and my daughter's now too, so now they're getting in on it. So with me volunteering, I mean, during most of the season, I'm dressed up as a Revolutionary War character. For the ghosty stuff, what I usually do is my wife helps with giving the tours, the candlelight tours, showing people all the haunted hotspots. I just generally do like a paranormal 101, let people listen to EVPs. There's some creepy photographs that I could share with you. And, you know, if you have any questions about the paranormal, then great. I'll be more than welcome, you know, to hear what you have to say, provide some insight and some whatever information I can provide you, which essentially is non-expert advice. And that's how I volunteer. I'm there, goodness, about at least twice a month, year-round, and pretty much the entire month of October.
listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, so you shared some pictures with us. Let's talk about some of these pictures. You know, as a skeptic, you look at these pictures, so we're going to need some backstory behind them because other people who look at these pictures, you know, are going to think the same thing, people who are skeptics. Right. Although I think a lot of people, like we've said in the past, a lot of people, they listen to this stuff because they're already believers. You know, we've had this discussion quite a bit before we get into these pictures with UFO research about how spirituality has very much taken over the nuts and bolts research of the UFO community.
Right.
You know, do you find, I guess that's always been the case with the paranormal community, but do you find that there's been an uptick, or is it the same consistency, or is society going that way?
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
The Lung Affair is a nonprofit organization that raises public awareness about lung cancer as well as implementing smoking cessation programs within the community. The Lung Affair was started and is supported by Pace Cancer Center in 2008. Money generated through this program is then allocated for smoking cessation and lung cancer awareness programs in Shasta County, including education programs for elementary, middle, and high schools. We also create public service advertisements about the dangers of smoking and have them placed at numerous area bus stops with wide visibility, as well as on the sides of robber buses. Due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, our event this year will be held as an online raffle posted on the Pace Cancer Center Facebook page. There will be 3 gift baskets available for raffle, and tickets will be available at the Pace Cancer Center. In addition, you can also donate to this fundraising event. Tickets are now available and will be available till 4 p.m. on Wednesday, November 24th, and the raffle will be drawn on Monday, November 30th. Help us help our community. Pace Cancer Center and the Lung Affair. KCNR 96.5 FM and AM 1460 are honoring our veterans this holiday season with Operation Holiday Salute 2020. If you wish to thank our veterans for their service, you can join forces with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. The holidays can be particularly difficult times for veterans, and this is your opportunity to lend a helping hand. A portion of the proceeds go to support homeless veterans. Call KCNR 530-605-4565 and become part of Operation Holiday Salute.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
Home Helpers of Reading is now hiring. They are a home care agency who provide non-medical home care services for seniors in our community and are looking to add to their award-winning team of caregivers. If you're interested in flexible hours with opportunities for full or part-time work, we invite you to apply to join the Home Helpers team. Apply today online at readinghomehelpers.com or drop off your resume at 2620 Lexper Lane. Reading Home Helpers, serving our community for 16 years, and we look forward to meeting you.
When, quote, ghost hunting that we know it, like I said, as soon as ghost hunters and like ghost adventures, like those kind of shows came on the TV, there was a huge uprising in technology. Who could post the nicest EVP, the greatest picture, who's what gadget? That was like the big thing. And then you're right. When that basically exhausted and kind of hit a plateau and really wasn't thrilling people anymore, they would say, here's a class A EVP. Okay. It just didn't really give a rise out of anybody anymore.
Right.
Then it comes to the spiritual side with people getting into the energy and being an intuitive and all the different buzzwords of, energy and talking to spirits and stuff. Because, again, that's not something you can necessarily quantify. And now people have gotten more into that. I mean, when I go paranormal investigating, I'm more apt to see one or two people have like a suitcase full of stuff. And the other three quarters are on, quote, the spiritual side of things. When it used to be the exact opposite.
I see. So we are kind of headed that way as a society. Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt that we were. I just don't like it, so I try not to be too confident that that's what's happening. So you're not really helping right now, Eric. Thanks.
Yeah. It's like I said, that is my role in life. I've accepted it.
All right. So what are we looking at here? We see a circled dark... what I assume to be figure around the wall of the fort.
It's correct. Like Uncle Fester to me from the New Adams families. Well,
yeah.
New from the 90s, so before I was born. But
right. Christopher Lloyd.
In the 90s before you were born? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think the first one was 1990s, and I was born in 92, so.
Oh,
yeah.
My God, I'm feeling old. Oh, goodness.
I'm 76.
That's what I'm here for. I'm just here to upset the guests.
Youthful energy.
Relative youth.
There you go. Okay, well, I'll preface this by saying, working at the fort, especially when I do, during October, when I'm doing, the Paranormal 101 desk, hundreds of people come by and saying, hey, here's something I took on my cell phone. What do you think? Like, if I had a nickel, that's all I charge, a nickel, I would be a millionaire by now. I'd be like Elon Musk.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
And I get it all the time. I'm sorry, it's a bug. It's all the different stuff. It's not a ghost, in my opinion. Okay, so like I said, a million of them. This particular picture, and like I said, I make fun of people all the time who circle things in paranormal photos. I'm like, look, if it's a ghost or something's crazy, I should be able to see it, not you having to go, hey, look right there. And then, of course,
right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Total hypocrite, but it works. So, again, I was at the fort. I was doing the lecture 101 table. And the couple came in and said, all right, we're going to walk around the fort. Now, you see that there's giant lights on because it was just getting ready for the sun to go down. They wanted to walk around the fort before the tour started, and they were snapping pictures on their cell phone. They went on their tour, came back and said, hey, Eric, I want you to see something. Do you have a minute? I'm like, yeah, let me say what you got. And so, of course, my eyes are rolling in the back of my head, but I look to them like, please, I'm genuinely interested to see what you have to give me. And thinking, okay, this is going to be just one of those photos. Right. And so what he is, he's on the parade ground. You can see in the photograph the outer wall. That's up on a hill. That leads to one of the outer walls. And he said, I was walking behind what they call the Commandant's headquarters, which is a brick building right in the middle of the fort, coming around the backside, and I'm basically taking a picture angled at the fort. So I took a million pictures. I said, but can you tell me what this is? And he had it on a little cell phone. I said, well, I can't really tell. I have my glasses on, but still, it's a small screen. Email it to me. I'll throw it up on my big 54-inch plasma TV, and I will check it out there. So I blew it up, and so that's, quote, the anomaly. And I said, that's interesting. It looks like a person, let's say, in a dark coat with maybe a gray, white hat or something. Or like you said, or Uncle Fester, as you mentioned.
Yeah, so, I immediately think bald head, but it could be, gray
right.
hair. It could be a gray hat,
Yeah, and at least it was cold because, again, it was about 2 weeks ago. It was the Friday before Halloween. A little chilly, but I said, maybe it's someone who wandered onto the fort grounds and was walking around just like you, and you happen to snap a quick picture of them as they were climbing the wall or coming down off the wall. I said, let me go back the next day and let me see if I can recreate the photo. Because, again, by the time they came back, it was already dark. And I said, well, let me go back. So sure enough, I went back, tried to set up the same angle with my camera. And I said, well, maybe it's something natural. Like, you can see that little white square next to that figure. That's actually a sign that says, please don't climb on the wall. So I said, well, maybe it's something else that I'm not seeing. Like, as they call it, pareidolia. Maybe it's a shadow of the wall. Maybe it's a... Again, I've been at the fort a million times, and I said, I don't know what the heck that even is. Maybe it's another person, but they claim, no, it was just me and I think it was his significant other. I'll leave it at that. On the tour, I took a million photographs trying to recreate that shot. I'm like, every picture I have does not have that in it. So I showed it around to other paranormal investigators and said, well, what do you think? And I told them how I tried to recreate the picture, and they said, I have no idea what that is. Now, again, it's taken with a standard cell phone camera, nothing fancy. And then one person who was, again, was a reenactor, happened to be at the fort that night, says, that looks like what would look like is a cloak with like a bonnet, if you want to look at it contextually in history. Because women wore wool cloaks, generally dark color, and had white bonnets on. I said, yeah. Interesting. Okay, so contextually accurate for the historic period that we're talking about. And there were women that did live at the fort.
Ladies of the night, I assume, for the most part.
They would actually probably be the general or the officer's wife. What the answer is
yeah. If right, any revolutionary war veterans are listening to this, then, you know, we don't mean any offense. Also, what are you doing? You're supposed
Tales
to be
of
dead.
Rivalry, yeah.
Well, well Lady of the Night. By Lady of the Night, I meant ghost. But, yeah. All right, continue.
There you go. Nice save. So, like I said, this photograph I thought was incredible. I've never seen anything like it at the fort. I try to recreate it. I showed other people, like I said, peer review. I'm a big – if someone said, oh, no, that's this and this and this, and it's totally natural, I would say, okay, I didn't know. I just learned something today. But I look at it and said, this looks like a, possibly a full-bodied apparition because, again, it's taken with a standard camera that has basically whatever your visual field is and a little sliver of the infrared, but it showed up on your camera.
Yeah. Yeah, that is wild, you know. You know, this is a little nerdy of me, but ghost hunters tend to use words like full-body apparition, and most of us in my age bracket grew up watching Ghostbusters.
Yes, and me too.
Did these terms come from Ghostbusters, or did Ghostbusters do their research?
No, they basically just made up their own stuff because, people had used terms like that. Like, if you go back even, like, in horror literature, like, I'm a huge horror fan.
Yeah,
people call them apparitions, wraiths, specters, spooks. I mean, they had tons of different terms for it. But it wasn't until, like, quote, ghost hunting really happened where they basically said, we're basically going to, I guess, agree that we're going to call this a full-bodied apparition. You know what I mean? So it's sort of like social rules that everyone's going to play by.
Right. Well, then I'm looking forward to you getting me a copy of Tobin's Spirit Guide.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. So this next one we're looking at here, is this the same locale? Was this you? What am I seeing here?
Oh, that's the same locale. Like I said, that's
so
that's,
this is you taking a photo of the same location, and there we're not really seeing the same figure.
I'm still looking at the same picture with the yellow circle.
Yeah, I can still see the same picture.
They must have been two pictures. Oh, I see. This is the original. This is the zoom in.
Correct. So I gave you the raw one so you can see what was taken originally, and then I basically zoomed in and circled the other one to show you where the anomaly was.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and that's the way I like to present photographs that I don't really have an explanation for. Is here's the raw untouched photograph that I didn't do anything with, and then here's just no filters, no nothing, just I'm cropping in on what I want you to really look at.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah, you know, this may be a nerdy thing, but that's something that always bothered me about the Loch Ness Monster stuff, because, you know, a lot of those photos, you get the idea, oh, huge dinosaur, but if you could actually see the photo, you would realize that what you're looking at is... If it's a dinosaur, it's a dinosaur the size of a turkey, you know?
Right.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, it's nice that in the other one, in the previous ones, that we have this sign there as a reference, you know, because I know for all you audio listeners, you're not seeing this, but hopefully we've explained it pretty well. There's a sign in reference to what we're looking at. That is giving us the idea that this is a person-shaped object in the picture, you know.
Right. Person-sized.
Person-sized. Thank you, Kara, for making me look like a damn fool in front of the audience.
That's literally my job.
All right, fuck.
You do the interviews, I, you know, throw peanuts. I throw spitballs from the back of the show.
And for anyone listening, we'll make sure to have this up on RadioWasteland.us so you can see these things as you listen.
Lung Affair is a nonprofit organization that raises public awareness about lung cancer as well as implementing smoking cessation programs within the community. The Lung Affair was started and is supported by Pace Cancer Center in 2008. Money generated through this program is then allocated for smoking cessation and lung cancer awareness programs in Shasta County, including education programs for elementary, middle, and high schools. We also create public service advertisements about the dangers of smoking and have them placed at numerous area bus stops with wide visibility, as well as on the sides of robber buses. Due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, our event this year will be held as an online raffle posted on the Pace Cancer Center Facebook page. There will be three gift baskets available for raffle, and tickets will be available at the Pace Cancer Center. In addition, you can also donate to this fundraising event. Tickets are now available and will be available till 4 p.m. on Wednesday, November 24th, and the raffle will be drawn on Monday, November 30th. Help us help our community. Pace Cancer Center and the Lung Affair.
Home Helpers of Reading is now hiring. They are a home care agency who provide non-medical home care services for seniors in our community and are looking to add to their award-winning team of caregivers. If you're interested in flexible hours with opportunities for full or part-time work, we invite you to apply to join the Home Helpers team. Apply today online at readinghomehelpers.com or drop off your resume at 2620 Lexper Lane. Reading Home Helpers, serving our community for 16 years, and we look forward to meeting you.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Christmas trees are back at Shasta College. This family favorite is easier than ever with online selection and purchasing, safe and fun animal safari, greetings from Santa, and a goodie bag for the kids, all from the safety and comfort of your car window. All proceeds help out our ag students. One weekend only, November 28th and 29th. Go to shastacollege.edu/treesales and get yours today.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
Let's talk about EVPs, because you brought a couple of those to us as well.
Yeah, go ahead and grab the list, so I generally know which one I'm talking about by the name of the file. So if you go to the first one, Jacob's shop is, that one is the blacksmith shop. And I was actually leading a candlelight, paranormal tour of people. We were in the blacksmith shop. And there have been people who have had very, unique experiences in the blacksmith shop. I've never had one. But again, you can play the clip, and for the first time ever, I had an interesting response.
All right.
Blacksmith shop.
Let's give it a listen.
Here, I'll try the oldest trick in the book. I'll tap on the door and you can finish.
Okay.
So Right. So I was embarrassed because, like I said, I think that's so cheesy, the shaving a haircut 2 bits.
Yeah. I heard
that. Nothing's going on. Let me try it out. And got that response.
You maybe missed it. Let's give it a listen again.
Here, I'll try the oldest trick in the book. I'll tap on the door and you can finish.
Yeah, I got to say the delayed response is all the more terrifying because it makes me think of the creepy ham, you know, coming up and doing the thing. You know?
Yeah.
Apparently, ghosts are there. They just have bad time.
Exactly, right. And like I said, there was a group of about 10 people that were going on the tour with me that, you know, were paranormal enthusiasts and wanted to try their hand at it and stuff. And now, the odd thing, though, if you think about this, is a Revolutionary War fort. They did hold soldiers captive as a jail during the Civil War. They took people that were captured at Gettysburg in Pennsylvania and kept them there. So, but the Shaving the Haircut song did not come out into popular knowledge until 1900.
Oh, so that crossed my mind too. Yeah. But they might just be every jackass that ever walked through there and beat on the walls.
Could be.
Yeah.
Right. So I always say, well, is the ghost, you know, post 1900 and knew that tune, or was just they've heard it a million times before and they're just repeating it back for the thousandth time at least that month. You know what I mean?
Right.
And also, you know, we constantly think of ghosts as having to do with trauma and not love, you know. So it's historical place in our country, you know, there's probably been quite a bit of love associated with this location over the years as well. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Rebecca likes to go there. You like to go there. This is more than just a paranormal experience for people. So it's become a life experience for some people. So, mm-hmm. you know, we probably shouldn't get stuck to any just era.
All right, so EVP number two is you're going to play that one. This one kind of speaks for itself.
All right. Okay. Obviously said.
Yeah, just. I like that.
Yeah, that is terrible.
So, like I said, that's just basically just talking, and basically in between you have this one creepy sort of breathy voice saying, just leave.
Yeah.
So,
Where was that one taken from?
That one was in casemate number one. Hmm. And like I said, that was the main barracks. Well, okay. Yeah, they called it a casemate. It was basically it's built into the hillside of all brick to protect it from bombardment by cannon fire.
Oh.
And so that was like so the troops could sleep there in relative peace and quiet and safety. And so at the time, they were just doing the standard EVP questions, you know, what are you here for? What can we do for you? Is there a message you'd like to let us know? And then we get that response.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to say my initial response was, oh, my God, that's terrifying. But when you put it in the context of the place to sleep when you're safe and so on and so forth, just leave seems like a realistic answer to somebody who's sleeping to other people who want to play cards and drink the brown liquor while this guy's trying to sleep. You know,
amen. I would have said the same thing, but not as nice.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, man, that one's great. All right, are you sick? Yeah,
sounds like a Nazgul.
Yeah, great.
Now, this one, I'll give you some
background. It did.
My dad from Boston, my dad from Boston wanted to try ghost hunting for the longest time, and every time he visits here in Philadelphia, he keeps saying, take me to the fort, I want to learn ghost hunting. Well, finally, he got his wish, and so I taught him what little I actually know about ghost hunting, and he was an awesome pupil. He had his list of EVP questions. I mean, he had it nailed, right? Totally a type A, you know, anal retentive kind of guy. So this is in the Torpedo magazine, which again is a mound built up against the wall of the fort. There's a trench dug underneath that went out into the Delaware River. And what they would do is they would take torpedoes, drop them into the water, and they had their own propulsion system that would then send this thing out the trench out into the Delaware River, hoping to blow up some ships. And people have died in this room. The room is maybe 12 feet by 12 feet with, like I said, a trench in the middle. And so my dad asked a million questions off of this list, God bless him. And then he finally asks, are you sick? And we got a response.
All right, let's give it a listen. The question is, are you sick?
Are you sick? Are you sick?
I'm hearing a no.
Well, when I let people see, I never really tell people what I think it says until after they tell me what they think it is, because I don't want to prime them to just agree with me.
Yeah.
And so 99% of people who hear that saying, I believe the voice, whatever, is saying no.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Because I'm personally hard of hearing.
That's what it sounds like.
You know,
so am I. But
all the years of these instruments behind me have done that number on my hearing ability. So I'm glad that I was able to hear no. And corroborate this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Huh. So he must have taken some excitement in that, I assume.
Oh, my dad will not stop talking about it. That was last summer, not COVID summer, it was past summer, but the summer before that.
Yeah.
My dad still brings it up. Yeah. He was a ghost hunter for a day.
All right, Scott over here. What's this one? Yeah. Yeah.
So my friend Scott, he's a photographer. So he's the guy that actually took the photograph that we looked at before. He's a professional photographer by trade. And so he was doing a photo shoot at the fort one Sunday morning, and I was happened to be with him. I said, all right, cool. He says, I'm just going to lay a couple of recorders around while I'm taking pictures. I'm like, all right, great, go ahead. I'll wait for you. And so he went into the officer's barracks, which, again, where the officers slept. They slept separate from the general troops. And so what you will hear is, He goes into the room, he lays down the recorder. What you will hear is the door shut, and then 10 seconds after he shuts the door, you hear a voice. I said, it was the only people in the fort were he and I, because like I said, it was bright and early on a Sunday morning. So why don't you go ahead and play it, and you can hear what it says.
All right, here we go. Okay, I don't know what that one's saying, but it's obviously saying something. But
I hear over here, son, but I can see the, you know, the caption of the thing. So, but that is what it sounds like.
Yeah, like when I let people hear this one, like I said, I say, what do you think it says? And then I write down their answer. Then I say, well, here's what I think it says, and if it's different, then it's different. You know what I mean? But you're right, Kara, is that most people say it sounds like it's saying, over here, son.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. This was a lot of fun. You know, I could actually keep it. I'm closing this off early because we've run out of our time, but I think I could keep picking your brain for another hour. It's been a lot of fun having you on the show. Thank you.
And I'm glad to be here. And the funniest thing is, this is the first time I've ever actually been a guest on a show.
Oh,
ever.
Really?
You're my first.
All right.
Surprising.
Well, yeah. You done good. You done good. All right,
I can be a gold star and I can have another beer.
Yeah. All right, you've been listening to Eric Brumble here on Radio Wasteland. He's the co-host of Dark Sun Rising and the boss man down there at Para X. His show airs on Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. If you're on the West Coast like we are, that's 7 p.m. That's Para X Radio Network. Go ahead and search it up. You will find it. And you've been listening to Radio Wasteland. Once again, thank you, Eric.
Pleasure's all mine. Thank you.
That's how it starts.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.